The scripture reading this morning is from the book of Matthew, chapter 4, verses 12 through 23. This is a section in the book of Matthew where Jesus actually begins his ministry. Excuse me. Now, when Jesus heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew to Galilee. He left Nazareth and made his home in Capernaum by the sea, in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali, so that what had been spoken through the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. Land of Zebulun, land of Naphtali, on the road by the sea across the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people who sat in darkness have seen a great light, and for those who sat in the region and shadow of death, light has dawned. From that time, Jesus began to proclaim, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." As he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who was also called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me," and followed him, "make you fish for people." Immediately, they left their nets and followed him. As he went from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, in the boat with their father Zebedee, mending their nets, and he called to them. Immediately, they left the boat and their father, and they followed him. Jesus went through Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and curing every disease and every sickness among the people. This is the word of God for the people of God.
I can hardly believe it's already January 22nd. What about you? It feels like we blink and the month just flies by. This month, in the month of January, we are moving through our sermon series, New Year, Same Promises. At the beginning of any new year, we anticipate a lot of change, a long to-do list. We have our budget, our diet, our exercise goals, our tax paperwork. There's so much to do and so much to think about. And in the midst of this is our ongoing journey of faith. Perhaps the most important thing on our to-do list. But when we're in the thick of it, life can get overwhelming, can't it? So this month, we're taking some time to think about how God's eternal presence in our lives remains steadfast and unchanging. We're searching life for God's promises and relating them to our daily life and walk of faith. Last week, the beautiful Georgine Green offered a hopeful reminder of God's promise to be faithful to us. This week, we're talking about God's promise to be in ministry with us. Ronnie McNeil read the scripture passage from the Gospel of Matthew this morning, where Jesus begins his ministry in Galilee and he calls the first disciples. There's a lot going on in this passage. But in the midst of it all, there is a promise. Jesus Christ is with us in our ministry. He calls and equips us to serve the kingdom of God. He says, "Follow me, and I promise I'll help you fish for people." The other scripture that we read together this morning as a responsive reading in our opening prayer came from the Psalms, from Psalm 27. The psalmist is speaking out of a place in his life where he's craving security. He says, "I want to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life." The house of the Lord is a happy place. It's a cozy place. It's nice and warm there. My friends are there. It's a place I don't ever want to leave. I see God's goodness and God's light in the house of the Lord, so I'm going to stay right here. close this scripture passage with the Gospel of Matthew, and Matthew doesn't let us play it safe, does he? He says you can't always stay in the house of the Lord and be cozy and warm and surrounded by your friends and people who look like you and talk like you. No, being in ministry with Jesus is about being in the world. And so Jesus shows up in Galilee, having been baptized, and he's ready to go to work. And on the first day, the rabbi calls his students, Simon Peter and Andrew and James and John. He interrupts them in the midst of their daily work, fishing, and tries out his best pickup line. Follow me, you guys, and I will make you fish for people. Jesus invited these average, everyday people to drop everything and go. Go where? Go and make disciples. Go with me. Follow me, and I will help you learn. I will help you pray. I will help you serve and teach and love. Together, we will do the will of my Father. And the miracle is, they said yes. Challenge accepted, choice made. The disciples drop everything and go with Jesus. Maybe fishing in the same boat, in the same sea, day after day got boring, and they were ready to try something new. Maybe they felt called to do it. A new adventure, a renewed sense of purpose. Maybe Simon Peter and Andrew and James and John felt for the first time in their life that they were part of something bigger than themselves and that they could trust in the power of this man, Jesus Christ, their Messiah, to bring about good. Trust certainly had something to do with it. In verse 22, we read that the disciples immediately left their boats and followed him. Choosing to follow Jesus is a choice that we make every day as we give our lives, our resources, our whole selves to Jesus Christ. We receive the promise that he will be with us in ministry. We receive the promise that our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness will not be put to waste. And not only that, but we will be given everything we need to do the work. God does not call the equipped. God equips the called. When Jesus asked Simon Peter and Andrew and James and John to leave their boats and their nets and their buckets and their tackle box and their fish behind, the feelings of inadequacy probably ran wild for the first few weeks of their ministry together. Can you imagine? But Jesus kept reminding them, I am with you. God's grace is enough for you. You have everything you need to reach out in love and service to the least of these. When the time came and they needed something, Jesus taught them to sit down and pray, to ask for God to provide. And as the stories of the New Testament, and particularly the Gospel of Matthew, unfold, we see miracle after miracle being performed. When the disciples needed to feed 5,000, what did God do? Tell me. Fish and bread, it was provided. When the disciples encountered a mother with her dying child, Jesus went and God gave him the words to pray. When they encountered great obstacles in their journey, and sat staring into the face of tragedy, God was there with them. Follow me, and I will make you fishers of people. It's a challenge, and it's a choice. And in the midst of accepting it and living this choice, we need reminders that we are called, that we are equipped, and that God's grace is enough. Will you say those words with me? I am called. I am equipped. God's grace is enough for me. The earliest disciples needed to learn, trust God, and to use the tools that they had been given to do the ministry in every time and place where God called them to be. Their ministry context looked different, whether they were in the public square or in someone's private home. Their ministry looked different when they were in the ocean or whether they were on dry land. Whether they were preaching or teaching, baptizing or healing. The disciples had their call and they had their tools. And most of all, they had God's grace. I want to talk about the paragraph 213 process, and I'm going to talk about it as a tool for ministry. St. Paul's Church Council decided in November that paragraph 213 is a tool that we can utilize as we seek to follow Jesus and fulfill our call to make disciples and transform the world. When we think about tools, we know that each one is unique and has a certain function in a certain context. Hammers drive nails that we need to install shingles on our roof or hang a picture on our wall. Cheese graters shred a block of cheddar cheese to make casseroles or pizza or delicious tacos. Right? Are you with me? Paragraph 213 process is a tool that United Methodist Churches use to help become more self-aware. To ask questions about how we have faithfully followed Jesus in the past and how we are doing so right now. To ask questions about who are we, where are we, and where toilet then. Now, just like you wouldn't use a hammer to plunge a toilet or tighten a screw, we won't be using paragraph 213 process for anything else than what it has been designed to do in the local church. Paragraph 213 process is a way that we can discern how we are faithfully pursuing our call, how we are continuously responding to Jesus' challenge to come and follow me. It is an all-church audit where we will check in on our building, our finances, our ministries, our programs, our staff, our worship. It's an inventory of everything we have and where we stand in relationship to those things. As I was preparing for this process and for this sermon, I wrote a long list of things that we have in our church. Furniture things. The brick and mortar things. The furniture things. The technology things. The staff. The people. The servants. The prayers. The gifts. We're probably the healthiest church to go through a paragraph 213 process because we have so much going for us. We pay our ministry shares in full and we support a full-time pastor. Thank you very much. We have several gifted staff members and wonderful lay leadership. We have active committees that do real ministry rather than just hold a meeting every month. We have low levels of conflict. We're located on a busy road in a growing city. We have active community partnerships and a deep, abiding commitment to outreach. We have people with tremendous faith who know to pray and take care of one another. And in the midst of all these blessings, Jesus continues to beckon us forward on our journey of faith. Jesus continues to say, St. Paul, follow me, and I will help you fish for people. And we have decided to respond. Like those early disciples, Simon Peter, Andrew, James, and John, we have decided to follow Jesus. We have said yes time and time again. In this place alone at 3334 Breton Road, we have said yes for 51 years. We have said yes. We will be the church that makes disciples and transforms the world. But after taking years, after 1 year, we need to take an honest inventory of where we are and how things are going. So on Tuesday, January 24th, as I mentioned during my announcements, we'll gather together as a church for a special meeting. We're going to complete what's called a spiritual mapping exercise together, charting out the highs and the lows of St. Paul's journey of faith. We'll ask questions about what are our strengths and our weaknesses, what's going well, what needs to change, how are your needs being met, and who are we not reaching? Asking these kinds of questions is going to be hard, isn't it? Just like in the new year when we sit down to do our budget with our spouse and our children and our family, we have to say, oh, we're not going to eat out as much this year. Oh, we're going to cut down cable. We can't just go buy new clothes whenever we see something pretty in the store window. As we ask these kinds of questions, emotions will come up, won't they? Simon Peter, Andrew, James, and John were certainly emotional when they left their boat and their family to follow Jesus. But they trusted in him, in the promise that God always calls and equips us for the ministry that is the will of God. Your church council and your pastor trust this as well. God is always calling and equipping the church for ministry in the world, to do the work to create the kingdom of God. We believe together that this is our next step on our journey of faith. It is a tool for discernment. And after all of our discernment, we might arrive at a place where we have some answers, some next steps. We might arrive at a place where we're just feeling very wise and well-informed. And either way, it's going to be a good process. Because it's a discernment process and nothing more. Just like we're not going to use a hammer to unplug a toilet. I said that wrong. A hammer to plunge a toilet. There we go. We're not going to use process 213 for anything else than it's been designed to do. So let me tell you what process 213 is not, okay? This is not a strategic process. Hallelujah. This is not a vision campaign. It's not an underhanded attempt to close St. Paul's United Methodist Church or initiate a merger with Mosaic. It's not going to reinvent our worship services or fire our staff people. It's also not going to be the cure-all for our problems or the magic solution that will automatically bring new people and young families into the life of our church. It's a tool to help us realize how we are called, how we are equipped, and who we are as people who follow Jesus. Like the disciples, we don't know where this process will take us. It may lead us closer to Jesus. Some places where we feel challenged or uncomfortable. It may heal us and strengthen us for ministry to head ahead as we continue to say, yes, I will follow. It is not the cure-all, it is not the magic solution, but it is a process of asking how we are being called to follow Jesus in 2017 and beyond. Your church council and I believe that this is where God is leading us, and we invite you sincerely to participate in the process. It's as open and transparent as you as a church make it to be. Together, we make a choice every day to follow Jesus, to make disciples, and to transform the world. May we all remember that we are called, that we are equipped, and that God's grace is enough for us. Amen.